So I got into an argument with my mom this week because she was all bent out of shape that Taylor Swift had been named Time's Person of the Year. She couldn't believe it, couldn't grasp it. She's not the only one. If you go on social media, there's a whole group of people that are all upset, ranting and raving that a pop star has been given the title of Time's Person of the Year for 2023. First off, it's a meaningless designation. I mean, there's no prize involved here. It's a magazine bestowing this upon somebody primarily to get people talking about it like we are right now and sell some magazines. That's what it is. But beyond that, who else would you pick? Like, think about it. Think of 2023. Who else would you name as Person of the Year? Realistically, who has had this kind of influence? Listen, I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift. I like a few of Taylor Swift's songs. I've got nothing against her. Not a fan. Like, I'm not a Swiftie by any stretch of the imagination, but I am completely in awe of that which she has created over the course of the past year or so. This is not typical pop star stuff. We just talked about her tour for 2023 surpassing the $1 billion mark. That's never been done before. And it's expected that it'll do the same thing again next year. You're talking about $2 billion. This girl has literally changed the GDP of states and countries by playing a few shows there. It's unbelievable. It's not typical pop star stuff at all. And when you have a full-on phenomenon like this circling the globe, you can bet that all kinds of people will try and get a piece of the action, and that includes politicians. We're going to chat with Matt Harris now, an associate professor of political science at Park University, about the Taylor Swift phenomenon and just how much influence she might have politically speaking. Matt, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. Taylor Swift, she's absolutely rewriting the influential celebrity story as we speak, right? This is a special category we haven't seen before.
Yeah, and I mean, I think especially when you talk about an era of streaming, an era where there's, you know, 10,000 genres of music at our disposal, you can think about things like Beatlemania, but that was kind of in a different era, right, with three TV networks. And so, yeah, I think what's really interesting about her is that really anything she touches gets more attention. You can even look at NFL ratings, right? Park University, where I'm at, is just outside beautiful Kansas City, Missouri, which is sort of the, in some ways, the epicenter of the Taylor Swift universe right now. And if you look at, like, football ratings, they're up, particularly among young women. And obviously we can talk about the economic impact of her tour. And so as a political scientist, you know, what I noticed is politicians are trying to see how they can sort of get a piece of the action. Here in North Kansas City, we have a street called Swift Street, and the mayor renamed it Swift Street, Taylor's version. And I happened to need to go to the local store there to get toilet paper one day right by there, and saw a line around the block, and this kind of piqued my interest. Like, politicians know if they rename something. The mayor of Pittsburgh renamed it, honorarily renamed it Swiftsburg. So politicians understand that that if they can try to get a piece of this, it can be good for them in terms of getting attention.
They're trying to get, like you say, they're putting in an effort to sort of get themselves, you know, onto the same page as Taylor Swift. But in terms of when she jumps in, because that's a different category altogether, and she actually initiates this, are there any examples of that? Has she ever come out and said, you know what, I'm supporting this person in an election? Has she gone that far yet?
Yeah, so her endorsements have been relatively limited. She endorsed a couple of congressional candidates in her adopted home state of Tennessee, Phil Bredesen, the Senate candidate, Jim Cooper, representative. And there was some polling data that showed that maybe she had a little bit of an impact on the race in terms of probably not enough to swing it, right? These were both blowout races, but there are, you know, there's a small percentage of people who say Taylor Swift would influence my vote. But more than that, what those endorsements did is give these politicians attention. I mean, these are state-level officials in Tennessee. And what we saw from Google search results is they got more attention after her endorsements than pretty much anything. This year, she, on an Instagram post, directed her followers to vote.org. And what that group found was that they had the most registrations that they'd had since 2020. And in American elections, 2023 is an off year, and 2020 was a presidential year. So to see that kind of influence just in terms terms of asking people to vote, I think it shows that she has sort of a nonpartisan influence as well in terms of just asking people to participate in the political process.
Yeah, I remember that when she just asked her followers to sign up to vote, to register for voting, and the impact that that had. So I can imagine right now there's a pretty big election coming up a year from now in the United States, and there's no question that she's been asked about it. She's probably thought about it, but how important, like you say, I mean, we talk about how influential she really is. How much influence do you think she could have on the upcoming presidential race? Is it something that people should take seriously?
You know, I don't think it's the type of thing where people, where a lot of people would say like, oh, how Taylor Swift votes is how I'm going to vote.
Right.
I think the big piece is attention. And for comparison, there aren't a lot of stars who are in her orbit. But some research has shown that when Oprah Winfrey endorsed Barack Obama in the 2008 primaries, what that really did was increase attention and increase people's sense that he could win. That okay, this guy has this endorsement from, like, I will treat him seriously now. He's got this endorsement from this person who is has this massive amount of celebrity. And so when you look at the 2024 election, I don't know, you know, I think her effect could be at the margins. I think when you talk about a general election where you kind of know who the candidates are going to be, maybe it's less so. I don't think there are a lot of people in the states who don't know who Joe Biden and Donald
yeah.
Trump are, who will be the likely nominees. But when you talk about at the margins, when you talk about primary races, should she choose to make endorsements in the Senate, in the House, I think in terms of attention, because her star is so big, I think that's where we could potentially see an effect in 2024 and beyond.
Will be interesting to watch for sure. Matt, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate your time.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.